in the space.
Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ
بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Sister Khalida Akbar welcoming you to another edition of Narrative Aspirations. When we aspire, we go higher. Join us each and every Wednesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. as we highlight the people, places, and things in our community, meaning events and activities that promote human excellence, that use their God-given talents to help remake the world. Ramadan Mubarak, I am so happy to see you here in the queue with me today, as this is our first time back, and we are welcoming you. We are back at 7 p.m. inshallah. Moving forward, we welcome you to join us. Tonight, we are going to have a beautiful night, inshallah, as we are preparing to go to the masjid and have Taraweeh based on the sighting of the moon. First and foremost, we will listen to Imam W.D. Muhammad Rahimullah Alayh, and I will tap back in with you. If there's anyone who's already in the queue who would like to share a Ramadan reflection, you can press 1 at this time to come into the queue. I'm going to go ahead and play about 3 PSAs to let you know all the wonderful opportunities that we have here on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. I am so grateful for a peaceful Ramadan. I thank Allah for the ability to be able to read with a group of sisters here called Service, the community that enhances the role of women in society, established by Imam W.D. Muhammad Rahim Allah Alay. So, yes, we are honoring him tonight. We are going to play one of his excellent broadcasts, and then we will chat back with you tonight, and we'll talk a little bit before we go into our Tarawih prayers. Tarawih prayers. I will be there, inshallah, if we are going to have them, and you can listen in and make those rakats with us. If you are a host, you already have that link information. You can go ahead and dial into the Zoom and watch it yourself, or you can just listen via AM360, which is still great, through the phone lines. I'm going to check the queue. If you have a question or comment and would like to share how your Ramadan has been so far, press 1. I'm feeling great. We made it almost to the very end. I'm feeling rejuvenated. I hope you gave all you could give as far as charity. And if not, you haven't made the intention, because Allah will bless that intention. If you are able to, go ahead and donate to the Ahmaud, that's A-M-O-U-D, Foundation. And you can Google that, but it is a human service organization that provides for various countries, including Africa. So we want you to go ahead and make sure that you, if you're looking for one last opportunity for that sadaqah, the Ahmaud Foundation is excellent. And also MATSIKO, M-A-T-S-I-K-O, Children's Choir. I have a child there that I've sponsored for some years now. If you would like to adopt a child, where the child will write to you, and you can sponsor them by paying $30 a month, that's it. And then they're all over the world. But that child will be so appreciative. That $30, from what I understand, does wonders in those countries that really don't have those opportunities that we have here in the United States of America. So change the world one person at a time, and that change begins with you. So let's go ahead and go to our queue and see who we have with us tonight. I see you in the queue, and I'm so grateful for your presence. We're going to go ahead and play Imam W.D. Muhammad Rahim Allah Alay. And if you do have any questions anytime during the broadcast, just press 1, and I'll check it, and we can proceed. And this is so exciting to me. I pray that you had the best Ramadan that you could possibly have, and that you were able to weather the storm and stay focused, and that Allah accepts your fast, all of our fasts, and grants us goodness and excellence. And we're going to make that dua right now. Oh, Allah, grant us the excellence in this life, the excellence in the life of the hereafter, and protect us from the torment and the punishment of the hellfire. Oh, Allah, let our entrance be by the gate of truth and honor, and our exit be by the gate of truth and honor, and grant us from near thee power to assist us. Amen.
Family, community, city, state, country, and more. Everything starts with you, the individual, you. What is the character of you? Are you a book? Can you be read? Join us every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a wonderful hour of information being shared by you, with you, for you, the you in all of us. I am Martha Naila Abdullah, and I am your host for Community Developmental Stages. Again, every Friday evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., be there.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilize the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Muwahhidin Muhammad here on American Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Imam Nikhil Ukda, Assistant Imam of Masjid Al-Halim, New Medina, Mississippi, asking you to join me in supporting Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world.
There's a place where words make people, a place where you're invited to expand your heart and mind. There's a place where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. You're listening to the American Muslim 360 Radio Network, 24/7, Muslim-hosted, from religion and current world events, politics, faith and education, marriage and health, music and arts, physical fitness and more, 360. Where we're helping to build a model community every day. It's a place where you can help remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Sister Khalida Akbar Abdulaziz, Program Manager for American Muslim 360. CWSC is inspired by the visionary leadership of the late Imam W.D. Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayh and his proposition that our communities need a studious group of persons or an intelligentsia, studying our history and circumstances and envisioning a brighter future for succeeding generations to live better in America. In 1999, an important step was taken to fulfill the shared vision of structuring an intelligentsia with a national think tank capable of serving first our communities and then, eventually, national and global interests. We welcome you to American Muslim 360 listenership. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All right, so we are back. We are going to go ahead and give you one opportunity. If you would like to press 1 to share a reflection for Ramadan, did you get your reading in? Did you read individually, morning, night, evening? What was best for you? How did your fast go, and how is your community responding to building that model community life? Did it bring you together? If you're able to share, press 1 to come into the queue, and if not, just savor on those reflections and thank Allah that you are here with us tonight. I am your host, Sister Khalida Akbar, and I am grateful for everything. Allah has came and showed up like he always does and showed out in my family's life, my daughter. She's been graciously blessed, and I'm so grateful. I've been making those du'as. Make sure we pray for our families, our children, and our ummah, as well as ourselves and our future. So join us every Wednesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an edition of Narrative Aspirations with Khalida Akbar, a culturally competent program that is used as a guiding light that features individuals, groups, and businesses and communities who use their God-given talents to help remake the world into a better place for all people. We welcome you, and we also lead by our examples in our professional and community lives. Then from 8 to 9, but we're going to flip that around today and do Imam W.D. Muhammad first. Listen in to Imam W.D. Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayh recordings. He's given us the best. right? So we want to welcome him and honor him and lift his name up during his holy month of Ramadan. I know I've been doing that, and inshallah, everyone has been praying for those who passed on before us and have already returned to Allah to give them extra mercy, blessings, favor, forgiveness, and shower that light of forgiveness and prosperity on their children, their communities, and the loved ones they left behind, and also bless them with the sadaqah jariyah of their works. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. O Allah, we ask that you, all the believers who have returned to you today and previously in our community and around the world, and our family, our community, and the world, we ask that you protect them from the punishment of the grave, protect them from the punishment of the hellfire, protect them from the torment of the grave, protect them from the evil of that which you have created, from the evil of those who envy, the evil of those who curse, the evil of those who practice envy, the evil of those who blow on not, and the evil eye, and that you surround them with your angels and comfort them, that you make their grave spacious, that you widen and brighten it up, and bless them for the best of their deeds and forgive them for the worst, and that you shower on their children and loved ones that they left behind abundance, because you are the author of all systems of knowledge, abundance, and wealth. We know you as Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, and all of your 99 names. We ask in all of your names to bless us, guide us, forgive us our sins, and accept our fast. We ask for your mercy, forgiveness, and freedom from the hellfire. And we ask that you bless us with many more years to come, inshallah, with health, wealth, wisdom, prosperity, and the excellence in this life, and the excellence in the life of the hereafter, and protect us from the torment and punishment of the hellfire. Ameen.
The Quran was revealed, given to him, is the last of the prophets, the seal of the prophets, God's messenger, God's servant, and his messenger. He is our example for good behavior and for good character and for productive work that Allah created every human being for. Hence, God says, any Muhammad is a model, is an excellent model for any who believes in God and believes in being accountable to God. This is what God says to us in our holy book, the Quran. So Muhammad is not just a model for Muslims, he's a model for human beings, for all people, a model for any who believes in God and believes in being accountable to God. And Allah, God says of him again, so that we know he's for all people, God says, Muhammad is a mercy to all mankind. Rahmatan lil-nas wa rahmatan lil-alameen. Mercy to all the worlds. This is Muhammad. So we cannot make this religion small. It's not small. Maulana Maududi, perhaps the most popular of the recent reformers, scholars who reform, who bring Muslims back from deviations, who bring Muslims back from a dull life to have enthusiasm and drive, reformer. Maulana Maududi said on Mount Arafat some years back, I happened to be there myself, long time ago, must have been 40 years ago, and Maulana Maududi learned that the son of Elijah Muhammad was making the Hajj, and was on Mount Arafat at the time. So he told his people to go to the son of Elijah Muhammad and tell him, I invite him to come to my tent. I did. I came to his tent. Pakistanis always have big numbers in the Hajj. I came to his tent, and when I walked up to him, he greeted me and asked me to sit near him. I sat near him. And then he began to speak to those who were in his tent. There were many. And he said, Islam is a religion or an ideology for the reformation or the reform of the whole world. And that means Islam is a universal message. It's for all people. It's for all lands, all nations, all people. And if we understand the Christianity, it is the same. It is a message to all people of the world. And the Jewish scripture, though it's not propagated like Christians and Muslims propagate our religion, our faith, but Judaism also is a religion, a guidance from God to all people, not just Jews, to all people. And it was Judaism that was extended to the world of the Europeans and others, to the whole world, by Jewish leaders, and as a result, there's a new mission and the New Testament. So we can't separate these groups. We speak of them as Abrahamic faiths. We all identify Adam as our first father in the human nature, and we identify Abraham, called Ibrahim in our holy book, Abraham as the second father, And these three faiths identify Father Abraham and Father Adam. Actually, if we understand it, Father Adam extends as a creation, he extends into Abraham on another plane, and a second father comes out of him. Second father comes out of Adam, out of the essence of Adam comes a second father. And that's understandable if we understand Jesus and Christian teachings being the second Adam, a second Adam. We may differ somewhat with the number where it's placed, but Jesus is second in the ascension, or the essence of the human soul, ascending upward to gain more, more and all of its life that God wants for it. So it is life expanding, life rising up, as God says, and he has created us as a plant that first a little seed like a dead thing under the soil or under the earth, and it comes out and it grows upward until it reaches its fullness or its maturity or its fullness as a life, completeness as a life. And God says in the parable of human life is the parable of a plant, or that of a plant, meaning it starts from nothing. You can't hardly see it. It's embedded in the earth. Our children, they start in our mother's bodies, in the bodies of their mothers, and we don't even know they're there until she tells us. And we don't see it for 9 months or until it reaches the stage when it wants to get out of that small confine and get into this big world of ours. Then we see it, and it kind of turns over. Just before it comes out, it's sitting up, and then it turns over, pushes its head down and comes right out. It says, unless you become as little babes, so that means we have to stop standing up so straight and so rigid. And we have to humble ourselves to the fullest extent before our Maker, the Lord Creator of everything. That's what religion is all about. It is about being complete in your recognition of God. If you recognize Him, then be complete in that recognition. Don't put your small time thing before your duty to God. Yes, our religion says in the Holy Book, in our Holy Book, save yourselves and your families from fire. This fire is the fire of human passions. Script writers called poets, they have, since time began, I guess, for writers, they have always referred to human passions as fire. And our singers in our recent time, they sang songs of that fire. And they call love a flame, a strong passion, a strong appetite. We have to save ourselves from the fires. Now, isn't it something how man can become scientific and know all about human nature? He knows the science of blood, bones, the heart, everything, the eyes, the science of sexuality, and a fine woman can make him nothing but a dog. It doesn't have to be a fine woman in everybody's eyes, just a fine woman in his eyes. Take him down to the dog. So that tells you that we need something bigger than man to save us. Especially in these times when life is all about styling. We need something bigger in our lives, bigger than styling. Many of us don't know we're styling. Now, I used to wear an FOI suit. And believe me, when I put it on, I just felt different. I felt like my manhood woke up in me or something. You know? I felt like I had authority I didn't have before. And I was styling. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says that I quote him now, my job is not so much to teach you religion, but to put you in a dress, a decent dress. See, God came to dress us up. Yes, that's what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said. And really, if you understand dress, when you are born from mama, no clothes have been put on you. The doctor got you, or the nurse took you, or you delivered, and there's the baby naked. You say the baby is naked. Why do we wear clothing? We wear clothing because we are naked in our own minds. The horse come here dressed up for cold weather, whatever. But we don't. We don't come here dressed up. We come here naked in our minds. But now just look again. What is the clothing for? What is clothes for? Clothing is a protection. Clothing protects me from bad weather. Clothing protects me from exposure, from exposing myself to everybody. So it's a private thing. It helps me preserve my privacy, and I want to look good in my clothing. So you buy nice clothing, you should. You want to look good in your clothing. But what we have to understand is that the first clothing is the clothing of human life. Human life. Human life in its innocence and in its purity. Human life in its innocence and in its purity. No wonder the question was asked to Adam in Genesis of the Bible. Who told you you were naked? And in our Quran is reference to the same situation where God says, and it was the shaitan, the devil, the first deceiver, and the worst of all deceivers. It was that one that seduced you and your mate to come out of the original clothing that God put you in. And says, and that was the clothing of righteousness. The clothing of righteousness. So what is that saying? Righteousness is not something a preacher has to give you, preaching the Bible. Righteousness is something that you were created with. You were created to be righteous. Righteous. Righteousness is your nature. It's an inherent quality that we are born with. The need and the drive to be correct, truthful, clean, decent, trustworthy, righteous, righteousness, sincere. Yes, that's all in the baby, in the nature of the baby, the baby's nature. When the baby is born, he's born already with all of that. There was a time in the history of criminology in the United States that I read, as a student studying for this job of God, when criminology in the United States had taken a backward move and was believing, yes, it didn't last long, believing that if they would sterilize, kill,
he met with Pope John Paul II at the Vatican in 1996 and participated in the National Prayer Service celebrating the second inauguration of U.S. President Bill Clinton. He was the first Muslim to deliver an invocation on the floor of the U.S. Senate and delivered the first address by a Muslim on the floor of the Georgia State Legislature. Imam Muhammad now directs the mosque's cares. Commentators have said of him, the message of Islam delivered by him for more than 30 years to persons of every race, sex, and class has been a quiet yet resolute factor for increased tolerance, understanding, and cooperation between Americans of different ethnic and religious backgrounds. The author of several books, the host of a television program and a nationally syndicated radio program, he is a member of the prestigious World Council of Mosques, the Peace Council, and has served as the international president of the World Conference of Religion and Peace. And as a young man born and raised in this community, I remember in 1977, Imam Muhammad gave a speech called The Need for Leadership, and he said, what America needs is moral leadership, and I am about to make my contribution. I'm going to tell you one thing recently that happened that was very impactful, just to share with you the importance of the clear expression of Islam and human nature that Imam Muhammad has given us. Recently in Houston, there was a very famous or very popular artist who's actually a rap music artist. He goes by the name of Scarface, but he told me he wants to change his name because he was studying Islam, and I gave him a CD of Imam W.D. Muhammad on Thursday this week. He came to Jumu'ah yesterday. He said, I love this man. Thank you very much for this CD.
And he's ready to take Shahada and become a Muslim. So thank you, Imam W.D. Muhammad, for 30 years of leadership, dedicated leadership that has led us all to be more intelligent and contributed human beings. And at this time, Imam W.D. Muhammad, our leader and teacher. Takbir! Takbir!
Allahu Akbar.
Takbir!
Allahu Akbar. Thank you. Thank you. Praise be to Allah. Thank you. We witness that God is one, the Lord, sustainer, keeper of the universe, cares about all of his creation, and especially the models of human life for us, the prophets, upon them be peace. And as it is our tradition, we witness that God is one, and we witness that Muhammad is the last prophet, his servant and his messenger. Upon him be the prayers and the peace and what follows of that traditional salute to the last prophet. I'm very happy to be here again for this last day program. And I'm happy, very happy and pleased with the success that we are enjoying because of the hard work of our committees, the big committee, the general committee, and also the executive committee, and Brother Rafa, who has chaired that committee and have done a marvelous job. We appreciate all of you. Thank you very much. I have in my hand a letter to me from our guest speaker who would have also spoke last night at our banquet, the beautiful banquet we had last night. Yes, beautiful banquet. Beautiful entertainment. That jazz group. When I was a teenager, the popular dance was bebop. The popular music was jazz. Jazz. Teenagers, they knew the jazz artists. And jazz somehow helped us keep our intelligence. This, what they're listening to now, is against intelligence. It's not helping us at all, the popular music of this time, of today. The music got worse and worse for the mind as time progressed. This letter that I received from our second invited guest speaker for the banquet last night, I want to share it with you. My dear Imam, this is from Dr. and also Father Harding. He is the president of the university in Annapolis that was founded by him. And that's Martin University. This letter reads, in the name of Allah. I'm reading it just as he wrote it, in the name of Allah. And if I wrote him, I would say, in the name of God. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. It is with sincerest and deepest regret that I shall not be able to be with you on September 2nd, 2006, for it is a great honor to have been asked to be a guest speaker at the convention. My work as president of Martin University and my stepping aside next year has been overwhelming. This has been a test of my life, but I am a spirit warrior and I know that with the grace of Allah, I will survive. I am so honored to be your friend and to call myself a Christian, Imam. I hope this is not presumptuous, but that is what I am. I have very great reverence for my brothers and sisters of Islam, especially Imam Michael Sahir, or Mikhail Sahir in Arabic, Muhammad Siddiq Siddiq, and David Shaheed. He's Judge David Shaheed. We know him very well. David Shaheed and their families. I hope you will forgive my lack of presence with you on September the 2nd, 2006, but I know I will be with you in spirit. In the name of the Most Gracious and Beneficent One, I am your friend, Reverend Father Boniface Harden. I want to share that with you. I also received, just a few days ago, this letter from Muslim World League Secretary General Office, Mecca al-Mukarramah, that is Honorable Noble Mecca al-Mukarramah, the city of Mecca, holy city of Mecca for Muslims, Department of Cultural Affairs. Honorable Excellency, Waris Deen Muhammad, Member, World Supreme Council of Mosques, USA. Dear brother in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and that means in the mercy of God, the Secretariat General of the Muslim World League, based in Mecca al-Mukarramah, has the pleasure of presenting its best compliments to you and would like to inform you that the First World Forum of Muslim Scholars and Intellectuals on the Unity of Muslim Ummah is the international community of Muslims, organized in Mecca al-Mukarramah between 1st and the 7th of Rabi al-Awwal, that's the Islamic name of the month, 1427 Hijrah, that's also the calendar, the Islamic calendar, corresponding to 30th of March through 4th of April 2006, has issued the following four documents. And he goes on to give us the documents. Since I mentioned went that far, I will read these items. Final communique of the First World Forum for Muslim Scholars and Intellectuals. Item 2, Islamic Covenant for Common Action. Item 3, Final communique of the General Assembly of the High Coordination Committee of Islamic Organizations, and 4, final communique of media meeting on impact of Islamic media in achieving Muslim unity. We are enclosing herewith 4 copies of the said documents, hoping that you will make your level best to implement possible aspects of them with the concerned bodies. We supplicate Almighty God to grant all to whatever serves Islam and Muslims. And then he signed, then it's signed off, Secretary General of the Muslim World League, and that's Abdullah El-Turki, Abdul Muhsin, Ibn, son of, Abdullah, son of Abdul Muhsin El-Turki. I think most of you know that I have been a member of the Supreme Council of Masjid is the plural for mosque, for a good number of years. And though I was unable to attend this meeting, I was invited as a scholar. They invited me as a scholar. I don't claim to anything. I don't claim to be a scholar. But they invited me as a scholar to attend this meeting, and I really wanted to be there, but God didn't open the way for me to be there. God didn't open a way for me to be there. I had problems, and I couldn't go there, difficulties. for travel and some other difficulties too at home, so I couldn't be present. I really wanted to be present because they invited me as well to present a paper on Muslim unity, and that's my cup of tea. You know, it would have been very easy for me to present a very excellent paper to them on Muslim unity that I think would have benefited them a lot. But don't think they don't get some of what I'm saying in the United States on Muslim unity. I don't send it to them, but they have their way of getting it. They know me very well, and they keep up with me. So much for that. Allahu Akbar. Yes, we are struggling and working, and our spirit is getting stronger and stronger, and our results is getting more beautiful and bigger. And we have our friends, the folklore members of the folklore movement here, and I want to tell you what I know. They pray for the success. For the success of our good works. And I know that their prayers have really helped. We thank God for your prayers. And not just in a spiritual way. See this nice looking suit here? Italian made in Italian factories, and the good price we are getting. I know something happened in heaven because of your prayers. Thank you so much. But we have a lot going for ourselves too, and we'll never give up. Never give up. We have a purpose. We have a goal. We have a mighty cause, and we will never give up. So I saw a little word that caught my eye in our newspaper, and the expression was convention nears. Convention nears. And that's the first time I heard that kind of language. I saw it, you know, convention nears. And it was publishing this weekend program, and the language convention nears. I said, convention is? When I was a boy, I loved the Three Musketeers. So who are these convention is? So I got a little bump and said, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Press hard upon Sam. His spirit will surge. Convention is and musketeers. Putting our life on the line for the poor robbed of their minds.
Thank you, my brother.
We leaders who lead in the name of God. When you lead in the name of God, you have done something very, very serious. Very serious. You're accountable to God. And if you're not sincere, you're going to pay a big price one day for being a fake, a phony. And we got too many phonies among the religious leaders. Yes, Muslims too. I don't know who you're thinking about, but Muslims too. Too many phonies. Our guest speaker at the banquet last night. Oh, she was so good for everybody. Dr. Oliver, I know you wanted to come back next year or sometime. I know you do. Yes. A wonderful, down-to-earth, very intelligent, wise woman. Yes, and a model Christian. A model Christian. So I study the Bible. I know what Christians should have as authority in their life, and I know what should be influencing their lifestyles and their behavior at home and abroad. I know that because I read the Bible too. I think I'm more aware of the Bible than the majority of the Christians. I'm aware of what's in the Bible more than the majority of the Christians, because the majority of the Christians, especially in the Western United States of America, they're just like the majority of the Muslims. They say they're Muslims, but they don't know their Quran. They don't know their holy book. And the same for the Christians. They don't know their Bible. And that's why we see the bad behavior we see in the neighborhoods. That's the main reason for it. Life is developmental. And developmental means it progresses by stages. There's progress for first stage, progress for second stage. It progresses by stages. And when it's not progressing means if you have more life, your moral life should get better. Your moral senses should get stronger. Your intelligence should grow. That's progressing. That's how God made us. He made all life developmental. So you should grow. The simplest life you can think of, it becomes bigger. It grows by stages. It becomes more complex as it lives. And our religions tell us that a parable of our own life is a parable of plant life that we can see. You plant a seed, the seed is a dead thing, not living. But you plant it in the right circumstances or environment, it becomes a living thing, and it opens up and shows what was locked up in itself. Locked up in that small dead thing was a beautiful life. And it's freed from that cell, that prison cell, the dead seed. It's freed, and it comes up a beautiful life. Our food from grain, appearing to be dead. Corn, tomatoes, wheat, whatever it is. And all the life that God has made serves a purpose. Serves a purpose. The grass, we take it for granted. But the grass does not only give us beautiful sight for the front yard and the backyard or wherever you put it, the golf course. The grass, if you let it grow, it makes a cushion for the small living things that have to survive on the earth. Ants and many other small creatures crawling about and crawling in and out of the soil. The grass give a cushion, so when the cow steps on it or you step on it, they have a cushion to protect them from being squashed or killed. Grass, wheatgrass especially, it reveals its origin. Its origin is a small seed that appears to be dead. So it grows up, and the last thing it gives you is a seed at the top. It shows you its beginning, and it holds its original beginning up high, up high. If man be like this, the prophets are like this, the prophets of the scriptures, they had this kind of thinking, and they identified with developmental growth into better form, bigger form, and more enriched form. And then they saw that God wanted them to give back as these plants give back. They give back, and they give more than what they originally had. They had one seed, they give back many seeds. And some bear fruit so beautiful, flowers so beautiful, and others bear that is food for us on our table. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, through and all until Sunday, and over again, they give us food. So we should also be developmental in our life, and our progress should move from stage to stage, and we should not be so selfish that we don't share our life and give something of our life to those that are in our environment, and especially to the small and the weak who will be crushed by the foot of the cow or man. I have to speak also to our people here, the African Americans, because that's what we are. We are black from the mother continent, Africa. We're African Americans. African Americans are going away from a painful, growing away from a painful memory of slavery, segregation, and KKK fashion terrorism. However, without the moral courage to support justice, when justice is also against us, African Americans, the spirit is easily fueled by fire, gin spirit. If we don't have our minds right, we will be burned up in these fires, remembering the bad times. Scars not healed can flare up when pressure is put on us a bit. Recently, our friend Andy, U.S. Representative to the United Nations, former mayor of Atlanta, Georgia. He made news, and I'm sure he didn't want to make that news. Our typical religious leaders, our popular politicians, too many African Americans do not support justice when justice is against us, African Americans against blacks. Our friend Andy was coming from a painful memory. About 100 years past in Charleston, South Carolina, Chicago, Illinois, African Americans in other parts as well of these United States had growing business life. About 50 years past, a tough luck remnant of diehard survivors were bulldozed and buried more than 6 feet under by a system of expressways. We had dry cleaners, drugstores, groceries in Chicago. Dry cleaners, drugstores, groceries, and meat markets, barbershops, beauty salons, tailor shops, shoe repair shops, restaurants, and auto mechanics, livery cabs, and jitneys, going from 31st, and it was called South Park, now King Drive, to 63rd, going through most of the densely populated section of Chicago on the south side for our people. We had our own cab service. We could go to South Park, take that cab, and go to South Center department store that one of our members of the community, African American Christian, bought from the whites. Mr. Fuller, you from Chicago, you might remember this. You might remember what I'm saying of Chicago. Mr. Fuller, he opened a department store. It was great, great pride for us. It lifted our soul and our spirit to get in a cab, on a cab line, on a street where only our men were driving cabs, nobody else, and we could go to from 61st, where I live, or wherever you live, lived on the south side, you could get to South Parkway, and you could get in a jitney cab owned by, and operated or owned by, at least an African American owned it. Whether the driver owned it or not, I don't know that whether the driver owned every, no, I don't think so. But the cab line was owned by African American. And you could get in that cab and go to where you wanted to go in the densely populated section of the South Side. And from South Park, you would then catch a streetcar. They had streetcars back then, and later buses, a streetcar bus, and go east and west. But you could go north and south using the African American jitney cab line. These businesses, as Andy spoke, he's a nice friend. I met him, personal friend. I spent some time with him on more than one occasion. As Andy spoke, were mostly mom and pop stores. That's what we call them, mom and pop stores. Not these big, massive, giant superstores that we have now, Walmart and others. They were small, much smaller. Koreans, Asians, Arabs, old comers and newcomers, they look at the property and the neighborhood that we ignore. They look at our dead business streets, and they come in with their fugal ways and give life to a dead community, business life, to a community that's dead business-wise. Think on how much respect the quitters can expect. Quitters. We are quitters. What are we blaming it on? We are quitters. That's what we are. And when the newcomers come, that's what they see us as. Quitters. So how much respect you think we're going to get from them looking at us and knowing we're quitters? We have to change our spirit to have a change in our life for the better. Our spirit now is not to accept criticism. If one of our own kind criticizes us to help us, to get us to wake up and see our shortcomings so we can help ourselves better, we immediately become enraged and treat him as though he's racist. Or you're not a black brother. We have to change that. This public address is intended to give us a clear picture of ourselves that we need to look at, our collective behavior, and our inherent life that all of us have at birth when we come from our mothers. We come with the same human essence, the same human worth that every other people come into this world with. Most of the people of the book, that's an expression from our holy book, referring to mainly Christians and Jews. Most of the people of the book, our Quran say, have not knowledge. And if you don't have knowledge, what can you expect from people if they don't have knowledge? The ignorant in the days before civilization, savages, who did not have the intelligence to better their condition until God saved them from their condition. Savages. If you right now would be told of a savage area existing on this planet today, and you'd be told, go there and help those people, you wouldn't be too quick to go and help them. You would fear for your life. You'd fear for your life. Now, I want to tell you that the KKK, they were savages. And if any of them are still living with that mind, they are savages. They don't have knowledge. They call themselves Christians, but they do not have knowledge of their book. If they did, it would change their way of thinking and behaving. They hold on to Scripture without knowledge. They have Scripture by faith only. The world's best known sacred scriptures are more about human society's beginning, mystical beginning. And also about predictions about how life will end. Life meaning community life. How the community life begins from the natural human life that the Creator gave us. It begins from that life. It grows from that life and upon that life. And how it will be concluded, how it will end. Conforming to man's God-given life for community and the behavior that man should have. That is what keeps life for the human family or for humanity. Favoring lifestyles that robs the community of life, robs the community of vital human character, and brings about the death of our communities, moral death, spiritual death, cultural death, material death. It's something that has taken us from progressing, from following developmental life, to regressing and losing our progress. That our great leaders, our heroes, even during the time of slavery and after, from Frederick Douglass and even before Frederick Douglass, Nat Turner, John Brown, a white man, he thought he was crazy because he made great sacrifices to tell the world, especially America, that slavery is wicked and it has to be stopped. He was killed. And from Frederick Douglass to Dr. King, we've had all these wonderful leaders. And all of them wanted us to be God-fearing. And all of them wanted us to be of good moral character. So losing your good life, losing your good moral life is a big crime. Especially when you look at the price that was paid to keep moral life in us. It's a big crime. It's a crime against the nature God created for you, but it's also a crime against all those wonderful heroes we had that were trying to lead us, who were deprived of community life by slavery, was trying to lead us to a noble, honorable, rich community life. Myths are in the way of progress. You don't know how much your life is governed by myth, by myth. Looking into myth and the nature of myth tells us a lot about the freedom that we have and the freedom that our great leaders hold precious now, still hold precious. Tells us a lot about that freedom, the freedom we enjoy in America. Once you've given freedom to be responsible for it on your own, the freedom that manifests under your control may be poison, very detrimental to the freedom that was intended for you. The noble men who formed the ideas for this democracy, they didn't see freedom as the freedom to do anything you please, to even become nasty and indecent, or become criminal. That's not the freedom they worked for. That's not the freedom that they left to us. Freedom to them was the freedom of the thinkers, the freedom of the free thinkers, free thinkers. And their interest was freedom of the mind, freedom for the intelligence, freedom for the best that is in the soul of man. They wanted to be like a plant, to let come out of the dead body, the dead mind, the most precious things deposited in there by God, the Creator. They wanted to see that free. They didn't want the freedom that we have now. This freedom is destroying us, destroying our families, and destroying our community. A prophet, a great prophet, was asked by the strong oppressor who was ruling the land that he was in. Said, well, if you leave from me, or if I banish you from the land, what would you have? How would you survive? And the prophet answered him. The prophet said, the one who created me will guide me. The one who created me will guide me. The great thinkers, they studied human creation, and they got great guidance, insight into human creation, and they got great guidance from how human beings are constituted. And they use that guidance, they use that knowledge to improve upon the life and advance the life, progress the life, according to the will of God, or in accordance with the plan of God for human life. That's how people have come into great life, great comforts, great benefits. We have to return to the scripture, and we have to follow the best of our religious leaders. The best of our religious leaders. The politicians of Chicago, they say you reward your friends and punish your enemies. We should reward our good leaders and punish our bad leaders. You punish them by not serving them. You punish them by not following them. It is believed that after man discovered language, he began to progress greatly. We shouldn't take language for granted. You shouldn't just speak any kind of way. You were created with a brain, the highest, the richest, most resourceful brain in creation. No animal, no insect, bird, whatever, have been given a brain like yours. The brain, our prophet said, prayers and peace be on him, Muhammad. He said God did not give creation anything more useful than the human brain. So when you love ignorance, you work against your precious brain. So you think of yourself maybe as uneducated. You think of yourself as poor. We all were born uneducated. And we all were born poor. But our human tools and our original human spirit made us turn to the best that we could find outside of ourselves and inside of ourselves. And we worked ourselves out of ignorance, and we worked ourselves out of poverty. Now this, you know, we don't believe in Darwin's theory. I studied his theory, and I know he was a thief. He stole information, or he was given it by others, and he didn't give God credit for it, and then he put it in his language that hides God, that hides God, the Creator. He put it in his language so that we would worship him. But we didn't evolve from apes. We evolved from original, precious human life. And we become apes when we leave God. We can't forget the freedom road of our pioneers. There are many of them who paid a great price, the nature that God gave man, won't accept abuse, mistreatment, injustice. We naturally rise up against such. Nat Turner, he knew he would die. John Brown, he knew he would die. Frederick Douglass had a better opportunity. The abolitionists were working at the same time. Whites, and we have had whites all along since then, joining us and supporting us and risking their life to help us get attention and justice in this country. Many of us perhaps don't know Elijah Lovejoy, David Walker, but we know Sojourner Truth and the many others, and Dr. Martin Luther King, the last of our great freedom fighters. We know them. But do you know Elijah Muhammad was also a freedom fighter? We have so many little problems that become very big problems. We call ourselves colored people. It was hard to get us to change from saying colored people and to say black. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he kept driving the point home, and it caught on. And Christians and all start calling ourselves black. Yes, proud that we are black. James Brown, the most dynamic performer I've ever seen. I met him after watching the show. Somebody said, "Do you want to meet him?" I said, "Yes, I'd like to meet him." So they took me backstage and I met him. So as soon as I met him, I just wanted to say, "Thank you, James Brown. Thank you, Mr. James Brown." So I said, look, I just want to say we really appreciate you for making us proud to be black. Because his song, you know, Black and Proud, Black and Proud. Here's what he said to me. He looked at me like he was surprised to hear me speak that way. He said, it was your father who inspired that in me. Yeah, Elijah Muhammad. Now you who have been in the name of Muslims and Islam for 40 and 50 and 60 years, you also have to thank Allah, thank God, for the teacher of my father, Mr. Farad. Because he gave us a strategy that would eventually make us give up the dead part of the life he gave us. See, when a seed is put in the ground, when life comes into it, the life comes out of the inside. And the dead part on the outside is left to go the way of death, eaten up by the earth. Or it falls down to the earth. Now some lift them up like grass, like wheatgrass, and the dead part will fall down to the earth eventually. And only the part that should live stays, S-T-A-Y-S, stays. Now, you know, if you read scripture, and I do have some scripture readers here, many. I'm looking at you. I know you. If you read scripture, then you should also understand that it's prophesied that the temple would not stand forever. The temple was built to fall. It was built to fall. But it was built to hold a message, the life, until the life could come up. And then the temple itself, as a material thing, falls to the ground. It must fall. Destroy this temple, and I will build it up in 3 days. Huh? That's prophecy, that's scripture. It's scripture of something that was said back then, but it's also a prophecy. Don't you know Mr. Farad understood that? He did. He understood that. And he built his temple not to stand forever, but to be destroyed. Oh, Wallace, that guy destroyed everything we had. No, I did not. I destroyed only what Mr. Farad wanted to die in time, to serve you for a while, hold you for a while, inspire you for a while, feed your life until you see that a lot of dead stuff is in this, and throw the dead stuff away. Praise be to Allah. You know, I was watching Channel 7, ABC, and came a commercial, Loyola University commercial, Catholic University, I'm sure most of you know. And they had the words, also treatment of the spirit. Now, they offer so many courses that you have to take if you want to finish college. But they say they also offer course for the treatment of the spirit. They ain't big enough to take all these Negroes, all these African Americans, all these niggers. Oh, he used the wrong word. What's wrong with nigger? It means the same thing that Negro means. The dumb Southern white supremacists, they learned that a lot of us, we came from Africa, So he found a place that was rich in culture at one time in history called N-I-G-E-R. But it's not pronounced nigger. It's pronounced Niger. Niger, not nigger. So he started calling us, incorrectly pronouncing it, niggers. Nigger is a better word than Negro, because Negro is just black. It does not take you back to a civilization and a culture. But Niger does. So you see, we have to wake up and straighten out our minds. Now we don't want to be called Negroes. And I heard some Spanish people, they were standing on the side, and they saw a lot of us coming. I knew a little Spanish. And they said, Los Negros. Those Negroes. That's what they said. They said, Los Negros. And they were saying, those blacks. That's what they were saying. So Negro in Spanish just means black. That's what it means, black. Now, I know the way you use a word gives it a meaning also. So the way the dumb white supremacists, and I keep calling them dumb, because that's the only way I can excuse him. He had to be dumb. He had to be uneducated. He had to be uncivilized. Okay, so being so dumb, he called you nigger, and the way he came, the spirit he came from, made you hate that word. So I understand how the word got the meaning that you hate. I understand that. But we need to rethink and research, because we are not doing much with our community life. And I believe this ignorance has to be seen firstly for us to come into a new mind and take charge. We have to qualify for freedom. To qualify for freedom and economic empowerment, the faithful must defeat this spirit to be nasty that is in us at home and in the streets. If it was just in the streets, it wouldn't be so bad. But that nasty spirit we have is in the home too. Regressive mind. Shameful lifestyle, show-off spirit to show off, silly monkey nature, spirit to just have simple, foolish fun. We are being destroyed, people. We have been influenced into having tunnel vision. But we are not a community of cyclops. The cyclops have tunnel vision. The cyclops couldn't do much with their life. In myth, they have one eye right in the center of the forehead. One eye, not two, one eye. God revealed religion so we would take pride and cherish and value our creation, the human creation. And in our holy book says, see how he's given you two eyes, not one, two eyes. To see outside and inside. To see outside and inside. To see and question. To see and examine what you see. To see and investigate what you see. To see and dig into what you see. And that's how we become educated. And if we want to follow the professor or the teacher, we have to be guided into that understanding that you cannot learn by just looking on first sight, but you have to have a second sight to look into, not just on. modern man's ignorance nukes his world, nukes his world. We still see the clothing. You're growing in dress. Clothing getting more popular, getting richer, more attractive. The buildings getting more attractive, more accommodating. The material just growing and growing. But what's inside? Nothing. Nothing. And that's what the nuke bomb does. The nuke bomb takes away the life of people, but leaves the money standing. So the victor won't come to rubbish. The victor will get rid of you, but take over your material establishment. Well, just like the nuke will do that for towns with houses and everything and banks and big buildings and leave them all standing unharmed, the breath you're breathing from the poison cultural air is nuking you. Your physical body is still there, but the person we used to know is dead, gone, vanished, disappeared. I love these words of Maya Angelou. I saw them on a video of the movie Madea's Family Reunion. Madea's Family Reunion. I saw the movie and got these words. She says, the sun has come. The myth has gone. We see in the distance our long way home. Beautiful, so rich. When you connect what she's saying with us, African-American community, the African-American community. She said, the sun has come. God opened her mind. God gave her knowledge and insight. The myth has gone. The false pictures that once was reality in our mind.
Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. At this time, we are going to take a pause, and we're going to ask if you have any questions or comments. You can press 1 to come into the queue. I am your host, Sister Khalida Akbar, and we are welcoming you back with us on Narrative Aspirations. When we aspire, we do go higher. Join us each and every Wednesday night, 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and that is our actual time that we usually air with modifications as necessary. We are going back to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time moving forward after Ramadan, and we welcome you to rely on us to help you and inspire you to go higher in your goals. If you had a wonderful Ramadan, press 1 and share that with us tonight. We are going to go ahead and share for a few minutes, and then we're going to be going to the masjid for Taraweeh, inshallah. And you can listen in on that too, inshallah. So, let's see who is in the queue. Okay, so many of you are busy and probably having your iftar as well and making your salat and preparing for Eid, inshallah. I hope and pray sincerely that you had a wonderful Ramadan. I myself had to break it up. You know how the first 10 days are mercy, the second 10, forgiveness, and the third, freedom from the hellfire. I had to break that up into good deeds. Community, family, and self. So I hope that you gave love to your family as well as your community. I hope that you had some time for yourself I had to pull back from going out to iftar with hundreds of people all the time and standing in them long lines. We have so many visitors, as we always are so grateful. And we had at least five, I believe, new Shahadas. So we were doing it big, mashallah, and I'm sure many of you were doing it big, because as we continue to live this deen, we are drawing people away from lifestyles that they do not want to be a part of. They see us worshiping Allah, dressing beautifully, having mannerisms that are respectable, and carrying ourselves with purpose. That's what draws people. People want to aspire to go higher. Nobody wants to be stagnant. We want to be successful. And that's why we make that dua to Allah, to give us the excellence in this life and the excellence in the life of the hereafter, and protect us from the torment and the punishment of the hellfire. And hellfire is not just when we return to Allah. It begins here. Our appetites, passions, and our desires, and things that turn us away from Allah or take over all of our time, energy, efforts, thinking, behaviorisms, anything that takes us away from being the best Muslim we can be is an idol. So with that said, we are going to go ahead and, not right now, we're going to go ahead and play another, I wanted to share something with you from Imam Yahya Abdullah that I've been listening to. And so, inshallah, you can listen to that for a little bit. And then as we transition to the masjid, we'll return to Imam W.D. Muhammad. If you have any questions, please press 1 to come into the queue. Or you can also email us at info@cwsc.us. You can also leave a listener comment at 910-317-0297. All right? 910-317-0297. All right? Together we can remake the world into a better place for all people. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Let's listen to a little bit of Yahya Abdullah. Imam Yahya Abdullah has got a couple of his CDs a couple months ago when he was here in Charlotte, and we can listen to that for a little bit, and then, inshallah, I'll let you know our next move.
Assalamu alaikum. That is, may the peace that only Allah, God Almighty, can give you be upon you. Welcome back. Bismillahi rahman rahim, of God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. So this is the second session on Sunday, April the 10th. We completed the first one before Salat. We just made our prayer, Salatul Dhuhr, the noon prayer. So this is our second session. So those of you all who are rejoining us, welcome back. Those of you all who are joining us for the first time, welcome to you. And Ramadan Mubarak, blessed Ramadan to all of you. And for the non-Muslims that are with us, if you're there, we say peace be with you. And if you are Christian friends, neighbors, family members, co-workers, blessed sacred holidays to you. As I said earlier, I'm aware that this is Palm Sunday. You have Easter next week. And so Ramadan and Passover are coinciding. It happens occasionally. And this is one of the years that it does. So sacred Passover, blessed Passover, they commemorating the Passover, our Jewish brothers and sisters. And our Christian brothers, all of this is next week for them, for their holidays. So our special greetings go out to you. Shalom to our Jewish friends and neighbors, co-workers, and others. Now, I saw two questions, but I won't answer them right now because they're relatively long questions. And I want to get into the meaning of the meaning and the role of Khalifa. If I start answering those questions, it'll take me off because you just can't give a quick answer to what a couple of them that are long, that I looked at anyway. So inshallah, maybe next week we'll have it as a part of our session. I'll see. Or I may respond to you personally on your comments. in the comment section. But thank you all for your questions. We really appreciate it. Thank you very much. All right. So I want to give you the information I have for you. So I'm going to show you this book. If you all haven't seen it, let me hold it up again. And they have the graphics ready to go. Commentary on selected verses of the Holy Quran documented from the teachings of Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad. Beautiful book, by the way, too. All right. First edition, second edition coming, as I said, with corrections and everything, as soon as our brothers can locate the right publisher. But because I do have it, and some of you all out there do have it, and I got my theme from the book on the meaning and role of Khalifa from this book. So I'm going to read to you now, and we will read and make comments as we go from Imam W.D. Muhammad. So I'm going to begin. And so the new people who are here for the first time, you weren't here yesterday, so let me give you some context and perspective. And chapter 2, Al-Baqarah, the heifer or the cow, is the title of that chapter, verse 30. Now, I read yesterday from verse 30 to 34, but I'm just going to read verse 30 because it addressed the theme, the meaning and role of the Khalifa. And I wrote the word Khalifa 10 on the board for you yesterday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Verse 30. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَائِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُسْدِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ دِمَاءَ وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُصَدِّقُ لَكَ قال إني أعلم ما لا تعلمون. صدق الله العظيم. Allah the Mighty spoke the truth. Revelation to Muhammad the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Praise and peace be upon our Prophet. Translating now from Abdullah Yusuf Ali's translation, 11th edition, 2009. Behold, our Lord said to the angels, I am creating, or I will create, and that is word, a vicegerent, V-I-C-E-G-E-R-E-N-T, a ruler on the earth, custodian. They, the angels, said, will thou place therein one in the earth? You're going to put someone in the earth who will make mischief, yufsidu fiha, and shed blood. While we do celebrate thy glory and praise, while we do celebrate thy praises, pardon me, we celebrate thy praises and thy glory and glorify thy praises and glorify thy holy name. And Allah, he said, I know what you angels know not. Okay, so we'll stop right there because I read the rest of the verses yesterday up to verse 34. So you can go back and listen to that if you haven't already. And if this is your first time, you can review that on our page. Okay. So now I'm reading from page 61 because yesterday I did read page 59 of the book. So I'm going to, I read 51 and 60 comments, a couple of paragraphs. So we're going to start on page 61, commentary from Imam Muhammad. Quote, Allah says in this Quran that he made Adam the Khalifa. Now where does Adam come in? Verse 31. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءُ كُلِّهَا. And he taught Adam the nature everything. Okay. Allah said in the Quran that he made Adam the Khalifa. Question. What is the Khalifa? It is the ruler in the earth. A custodian for God in the creation. One with the potential to look out after the welfare of not only himself, but also the created things that God has made. Now, he's given definition for Khalifa now. One who is capable and who has the potential to be the keeper, watchman, the safekeeper, superintendent, or the supervisor in the creation. Did God give this to any of his other creatures that he made? Animals don't have it. Dogs don't have it. Cats don't have it. Birds don't have it. Gorillas don't have it. Elephants don't have it. Nothing in the creation has this except Imam Muhammad. He is the one with the potential to go and explore mysteries of his environment and bring out the hidden things, technology, science, and they're up there exploring now. AX-1, I believe, the spaceship with the astronauts and average citizens paying big money. You don't see no dog making spaceships, do you? Cats going in the space. No, they don't have that ability. The baddest lion in the jungle, roaring, scaring every animal in the jungle, except the elephant. I don't think he's scared of elephant. But he's just roaring and carrying on. Okay, get up above that plane, Mr. Bad Lion. Look at the big body of the elephant. He ain't going to space, is he? He's just running around out there in the Serengeti. That's in East Africa. These are my comments. I'm coming on Imam Muhammad. So we have some examples for our audience. I know this language may be new to some of our viewers and listeners. Those of us who are accustomed to this language, we're familiar with it. But don't assume everybody else out there understand what we're talking about. So we have to make some examples. That's all I'm doing, make some tangible examples they can relate to. He's the one with the potential to go mad, Adam, Khalifa, and explore the mysteries of his environment and bring out the hidden things and be an instrument for improving, listen to that, improving upon the creation that Allah has made. Now, this coincides, this statement by the Imam, with what the Bible says of Adam's role in God, chapter 126, Genesis. And we made the man and put him over everything, right? I'm paraphrasing. And then said, and we created Adam, him in the garden, and gave him instructions. And what were the instructions when he found himself in the natural world, according to the Bible? What Imam Muhammad is saying here. I know we have Christians viewing and listening to us. Dress up this world. Improve upon this world. You find yourself in a natural environment. Trees and water and land, earth and cattle and birds. Okay, now, but I have given you, man, something higher above all of the creation. I have given you intellect and a mind to do what? Can I see? Chapter 2, verse 31. وَعَلَّمَ Adam the Khalifa. I mean the Quran. Al-Asma'a. Now they translate this as name. It's still a name, but it means nature. To identify the function. Asma'a kullaha. You know what that means, kullaha? That means name everything. Adam back there. Adam present here. Adam present. What we call Bani Adam, the children of Adam, the generations of Adam. And the Adam that are yet to come, they will be, and they are doing it right now. Okay, I'm speaking on microphones.
I have a question. The Adam behind us, did he have a microphone? He didn't have that language, but he had the potential and the nature and the possibility in his intellect. It don't matter what it is, the mysteries in creation, God has given him already the natural ability to identify it and put a name on it. Now, unfortunately, you already know where I'm going with that. Sometimes he uses ugly names for people. And I won't get into all the ugly names they call us. But that's Adam, isn't it? Naming things. So Allah cautioned him, Quran chapter 49, said, don't call each other by offensive names. I'm not going to be using them ugly names. But he had the ability to name. That's what God said. I gave you the ability to identify and name everything. So we don't have anybody giving footballs what I'm giving a session to with my friend. Oh, okay. All right. And I know that when I see that look from it, I'm talking to my assistants here. So I'm going to ask you all, please be so nice and kind, and most of you are. Don't give a lecture while I'm giving a lecture. You don't mind giving the greetings. There's no long questions. Make them brief because we want to respect the time of others and respect the material that I want to share with you from our leader, Imam Wahyatuddin Muhammad. Okay? Thank you. All right. So now, Imam Muhammad, he says the human being, man, was made to improve upon everything. So God said to the angels, I taught Adam the nature of everything, and then he placed them, ثُمَّ أَرَدَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Then he placed these things in creation before the angels, God's angels. And now, I taught Adam the nature of these things. Now, you all name it. And look what the angels said. Oh, God said, tell me. قَالَ أَنْبِئُونِي. Tell me, God says. فَقَالَ أَنْبِئُونِي. You angels, tell me. بِأَسْمَائِهَا أُولَئِ. I'm reading verse 31. You all tell me the names of these. إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. If you are truthful. You know, y'all know everything. Tell me. The angels submitted. Halu subhanaka. They said, glory to thee, acknowledge Allah, glory to thee. La ilma lana illa ma alamtana. Innaka antal alimul haqim. Who is this so instruction? God, we don't have any knowledge. It's what you taught us. Does any of us have any knowledge except what God taught us? Sometimes you think you do. And sometimes those people higher up in those higher echelons of universities and higher academics, oh, they think they got something God didn't teach. But if the angels can say, God, Lord, we know nothing except what you taught us. That's instructional for mankind. God, and the Muslims, when they make the tawaf, circumambulation around the Kaaba, Hajj, they say, Allahu ya'lamu wa antum la ta'lamun. God, we know nothing, and it is you who are all known. The learned, when they're going around, the scholars, that's what they say. God, we submit our knowledge to you. We don't have anything. Huh? And then Allah says in the Quran, in another portion of the Quran, more than one place, say they didn't get into disputes and differences and debates until knowledge came to them. And you can't tell them nothing. Now, this is a little note for our teenagers. I don't have them teenagers anymore. They're grown and gone, as we say. But you all out there with them teenagers, I know. You can't tell them nothing. They don't They don't want to hear anything. They forgot that you used to be a teenager before them. Now they all grown up and they become, as Allah said in the Quran, an open disputer. When they were little, they couldn't even talk. Couldn't say anything. You got to carry them around. When they were hungry, you had to anticipate them being hungry. Or they crying out, hollering and screaming. Ah! And you hungry? You wet? Well, how can I help you? Now all of a sudden, you don't tell me what to do. I do whatever I want to do. I don't need you to tell me. Wait, hold up a minute now. Wait a minute. Now, I remember when you couldn't even talk. You couldn't walk. You couldn't feed yourself. You couldn't even clean yourself. You couldn't even go to the bathroom. All of a sudden, God bless you with life, and you done became a little older. Mama, daddy can't tell you nothing. And hence the thing in the Quran. I'm talking to the young people now. Where I'm trying to help you out, parents. I can get the weight off of you during Ramadan. Say, ooh, little Abdul, you should listen to what Imam Yahya said. Look, Karima, why don't you listen to it? Well, just put it on me. And I don't know them personally, so they're just hearing the instructions. Allah says in the Quran, do not say uffin to your parents. And listen to the word, uffin. Doesn't it sound like offend? Don't offend your parents because they raise you up. Rabiani Sahira. They raise your parents when you were just a little small thing. So God start off early in the Quran. In the way the prophet arranged it, say the angels say, I have no knowledge except God, what you taught us. But none of us have anything except what God taught us. All right, let's get back to the man. He is the one, Adam, the Khalifa. I'm on page 61, so you all have the book following along with me. He is the one with the potential to go and explore the mysteries of his environment and bring out the hidden things and be an instrument for improving upon that which Allah has made. And look at all these wonderful conveniences Adam has brought to us, huh? The Khalifa. Nice. Now, I'm going to ask, is it a little warm in here? It's okay? The temperature's okay? Okay, so we have the convenience of AC, air conditioning. So Ahmed is going to turn, because I'm feeling a little warm. You all out there, I'm talking, I'm in the masjid here, and I'm feeling a little warm because we had the heat on earlier to take the chill out. But Jacksonville, now the temperature, I think, is around 80 degrees out there, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere up there. But the sun is out and it's bright, so I can feel the heat a little bit. But look, we have the convenience now. Isn't that an improvement on the environment? See how that fit right in? But what we're talking about, the Khalifa. How do we have air conditioning? Because Adam, the Khalifa, follow the instructions of God, improve upon this natural world and bring out conveniences for your life. We came here, those few brothers and sisters that are here that came over, we drove here in cars, vehicles, most of us, and we came a little distance. That's a convenience. Those of you all that are not with us, you're in Bermuda, you're in London, Afghanistan, Dallas, Texas, New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Newark, New Jersey, our number one viewing audience, Philadelphia, Detroit, L.A., on and on and on, Washington, D.C., all over the Caribbean, West Africa, Ghana, Sierra Leone, Kenya, Dar es Salaam, you're all over the world, South Africa. How is this possible? Adam improving upon the natural world. Technology made it possible. We can see the horror, unfortunately, and it's horrible. It's horrific. It's genocide. I don't know what other definition. I looked up the word genocide, and it's targeting a group of people or a nation, ethnic group, to exterminate them and destroy them. Well, that's what Putin is doing, but we are aware of that because of technology, and he's killed some of the reporters because he don't want the word to get out of how horrendous his brutality is to just kill all these people and blow up their communities and their neighborhoods and destroy them. We're witnessing horror on a level we hadn't seen since Syria, Chechnya, Iraq, see these things come around if you don't check it. When he was running wild as a beast in Syria with Assad, the world didn't check him. Putin released chemical weapons on those people there, Muslims and others in Syria. Oh, now he's turned on them. It's tragic, but you let him get away with it. You let him get away in Chechnya. You didn't check him when he was in Chechnya killing the Muslims. Now, the horror is that, unfortunately, and we feel so bad for those people, and we pray for the people of Ukraine. But how are we being informed about this? Technology. Adam has made the improvement that the word can come from around the world. And God said in the Quran, wheresoever you may be, he's going to bring you together. He's going to connect you. And, yes, it is a reference to pilgrimage and Hajj. Yeah. But it's a reference to technology. Modern-day technology, modern times, how Adam has improved upon his world that God told him of this natural creation. Study the mysteries and learn about fiber optics. And learn how the air can carry airways and signals across there. Study all of these things. And who knows what the future holds. More improvement. Count on it. The man keep carrying out his role as the Khalifa. Imam Muhammad. Khalifa comes from a word that means behind. Not in front. So God made the world and rested the world. Did you hear that? God didn't rest. The world rested. It reached the point that he wanted it to reach. Our solar system, our galaxy, our planet. You understand? So he had a design for Earth. I'm using it because we live on Earth. And once that design had been evolved and reached its completion, God rested the evolution of it. Say, okay, Earth, you have reached your form that I want you to be completed in. And this is the mistake. Again, no criticism. Observation that God rested on the seventh day. Somehow he was tired, or he was tired of working. Allah revealed to Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, in the Quran, say every day a new work and splendor, shining, I believe is the word, does God shine. Every day he's working. And say, God is a worker, and you work in your places. And he's busy creating worlds that you know and worlds we don't know every single day. And I told you, what, I think it was last week in Juma, if not this past week, Hubble just sent us back that big star they found out there, 50 times bigger than the sun. Millions of times brighter, and they said 12.9 billion light years away from us. How did it get there? Allah created it. God created it. Yes, Allah created it. So he doesn't stop. He didn't rest. And Allah says in the Quran, in the ayat to the Kursi, the verse of the throne, say, slumber sees him not, nor does he get tired, and he don't get sleepy. No, God don't rest. But he make rest when it reaches its completion. Imam Muhammad, he evolved the world and rested its evolution, or rested its growth. I hope you understand that. You who are acquainted with this kind of language, you understand, he says. Everything grows to its fullness, then it rests. We find that some things grow to their fullness and they get a new life. A new challenge to their survival brings out the powers for adaptation, like the caterpillar that becomes a butterfly. Huh? That came to my mind. It lives its existence as a caterpillar, and once it, but that's not its final destiny, is it? It wraps itself up to a cocoon, goes in, says, all right, I'm a caterpillar now, but that's not my destiny. My destiny is to be a beautiful monarch butterfly. But it's expedient that I, the caterpillar, go away. You got that, Ark. For if I go not away, the monarch butterfly shall not come unto you and be born.
All right, so we are going to be transitioning and going to the masjid. So in the meantime, we're going to play Imam Dambiti Muhammad. We hope that you are enjoying what you are hearing tonight. Press 1 in the queue if you can hear the recording that's playing. Press 1 in the queue if you can hear the recording. One second. Okay, I got you. Thank you. Okay, so we'll be playing that for you in just a second, and thank you so much for your patience.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Zabrita Hadi, Director of the MCNRD Model Community National Resource Directory, reminding volunteers of our upcoming MCNRD Social Connect Conference every last Sunday of the month, 1 o'clock p.m. to 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We look forward to your participation, so please check your email for conference call information. Thank you so kindly.
Peace be with you and welcome to Positive Solutions to Critical Issues, hosted by yours truly, Dr. Jamal Rashid and Instructor Henry Hasid. This program is sociologically as well as psychologically inclined, with Fitler as its base. We examine the root seed to multiple effects that impact our holistic daily lives. So tune in each and every Thursday morning from 7 to 8 Eastern Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. Thank you and have a pleasant day.
Family, community, city, state, country, and more. Everything starts with you, the individual, you. What is the character of you? Are you a book? Can you be read? Join us every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a wonderful hour of information being shared by you, with you, for you, the you in all of us. I am Martha Naila Abdullah, and I am your host for Community Developmental Stages. Again, every Friday evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., be there.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Alameen. We hope that you have enjoyed what you are hearing tonight on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. I am your host, Sister Khalida Akbar, and we are going to play your name, W.D. Muhammad, and then we're going to make Salah. Assalamu alaikum.
Allahu Akbar. We praise God, and we witness that He is one and cares about all of us, all people, all nations, all the worlds. And we witness that the final revelation, the Quran, is revealed to Muhammad, and he's a message, a messenger to all the people of the earth, and he's a mercy to all people and a mercy to all the worlds. We appreciate this opportunity to address the radio audience and to be here on this first Sunday of the year and this first day of the year. And I wish all of you all a happy new year and a very prosperous new year. We hope that the year we are in now will be better than the year that just went out. And I believe it will be for all of us. We're addressing the need for reform. The future that we are facing is going to bring about more demand for reform, more support for reform. Reform for public education in the United States of America, but also reform for almost everything that we have been supported by. Everything almost that we have been supported by. This is a new world we're living in. It's a new time and a new world. The world was once having one-sidedness, just seeing one way, and was not respecting the whole people or the whole population of this planet Earth. It was moving very selfishly in the direction of what it wanted and ignoring justice. Before 1945, the world had no, quote, institution, end quote, or legal organization whereby a nation threatened by another nation could take its complaints and be heard. A Catholic peace building movement publishes a magazine titled Living City. One of this featured article says, after 60 years, the United Nations will be facing a demand for more serious reform. Public education in the United States, the natural environment, respecting the natural environment for the good of the environment itself, but also to save human life on this planet. Shrinking fuel supplies, poverty and starvation are all on the world scene and on the agenda of conscious nations. At home in our big and small cities, reform is becoming the more pressing issue. Feeling and perception
also needs reforming. How we feel about things and how we perceive or understand things. Communities must support efforts to reform popular thinking and attitudes. Emotions are too high. Human intelligence will be approached in the future more directly. People will be demanded to use their brains more and respect intelligence and respect intelligent behavior. As the world tries to keep its old habit of dancing and singing troubles away, the world gets more messy. Morals become more confused and human abuses more horrifying. Think of human bodies as a human body. Think of the human body that it is a vehicle, you know, like an automobile, a truck, or whatever, a motor vehicle. Think of the human body as a motor vehicle. Now, I know when I was young, I wanted to drive, long before I was of age to drive. I used to ride in the car with senior or older brothers in the temple who had cars. They called temple back then, the place of worship. And I'd sit there and I'd be imagining myself under the wheel. And my father, sometimes, occasionally, he would try to take us in his car, and I was there imagining myself under the wheel. I got the opportunity to drive a truck long before I was of age. This brother asked me, I was about 14 years old, he said, would you like to go with me and make some extra money? I said, yes. So I went with him. He had a nice truck, like maybe a two-ton truck. And that's the way I remember it. I think, looking at it with my eyes now, I think it's probably about 2.5 ton maybe. And he would load it, overload it, with what we call junk. And he would take the junk to the junkyard. And he would sell glass. He'd sell metal he'd pick up, and he would pick up a lot of paper and cardboard. He would sell that and rags, old rags. And once we were driving along, I think it was 43rd Street, and he said, would you like to try it? I said, yes. So he pulled over and stopped, and I got under the wheel. And believe me, I drove well the first time under the wheel because I had been driving all the time. Imagining myself in the driver's seat all the time. So it wasn't difficult. I just followed what I was observing. I did the same thing. And I had to get used to everything. But I even measured spaces, you know. While the other driver was driving, I would imagine the space he could get through and the spaces he could not get through. So I drove that truck. And seeing all these vehicles now on the road, and some of the people that's in them, they passed, they got their license, but really, they shouldn't be behind the wheel. Some of them look like they're trying to hit me, and I'm dodging them, and look like they're trying to follow me to hit me. I don't know, this is really an unconscious world, a world that's got a spirit controlling it. Most of the people are controlled by a spirit that's not intelligent. It's not the spirit that came from good parents. It's not the spirit that came from good teaching, education. No. It's not the spirit that comes from the individual's good thinking. It's another spirit. And that spirit is really causing us a lot. So we're going to have to reform our spirit. We have to reform our spirit. And we can reform our spirit. All you have to do is reform the way you think. Reform the way you think and everything will change for the better. As the Bible says and as the philosopher said before the Bible had it, a philosopher said, as a man thinketh, so is he. And the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And the Quran says, think, for surely thinking will profit you. Yes, think. And W.E.B. Du Bois says, that our political leader, and well, really, he started the NAACP. He was the one to start what we call now the NAACP. He said, our people will progress in the measure that we are willing to teach our children to think. Think. I remember parents correcting us. Hey, you better use your head. You better think. They would insist that we think. Behavior without thought is blind behavior. And a lot of good habit is acceptable, but crazy habit is not. Imagine now, your car or a truck, a motor vehicle, and you're going down the street, flying down the street at the speed limit or above. You have no brakes. Your steering doesn't work. You grab the wheel and it doesn't work. It won't turn your left or right. No brakes and no steering. You wouldn't drive a vehicle like that. But many of us live like that. No brakes. No steering. In fact, when we see the danger, instead of turning left to get out of the way of it, we persist in just going headlong the same way. So we are having a spirit and a behavior that's reckless. At-risk behavior. Terribly at-risk behavior. We need to reform it. And we got to reform it. We don't have homes anymore, the majority of us, that represent intelligent guidance for us. And it's not because it's not wanted in those homes. It's because the world scene, and for most of us, I'm speaking of right now, in these towns and cities that I mentioned earlier, the world scene is a street scene. The behavior in the streets, the attitudes in the streets, the things that attract your attention, you who are in the streets, the songs you listen to, the music you like, the movies you like. And by the way, we need to reform our mind so that our minds will come up from being so low down.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Come on.
It's a shame that I can't find hardly a decent movie in some of these African Americans' neighborhoods, some of the black neighborhoods. I can't find a decent movie. And I got really fed up, and I was getting a little angry. I said, I'm going to approach the management. And something told me, no, don't bother the management. The management is only showing what they will support. And I recall watching a nice movie on the weekend. Nice movie. Hardly nobody there watching it. But me and my little son, my son, and maybe two or three other people. And I recall being alone, just with my son. And whoever was with us, sometimes I have someone else with us. Now my wife is with us when we go, half the time that we go. She's not a habitual movie goer like we are. My son and I, we don't know anything to do when we get off of work. We say, oh, a movie, a restaurant and a movie.
That's it.
We were watching this movie and it come to my mind, ain't nobody here. And after it happened several times that we were watching a nice, great, class, high-class movie, nobody there but us, then it registered on my mind, our people don't support movies like this. The average one in these African-American neighborhoods They don't support class. They don't support culture. They don't support quality. All they want to see is violence and sex. Violence and sex. They get the big crowds, the movies that have a lot of violence and a lot of sex. They get the big crowds. They're decent movies that will feed your mind and help you get your life straight or help you keep your life straight. Nobody wants to see those. So I've given up really appealing to those people of minds like that, whether young or old, whether it's our youngsters, our teenagers, or old. My address to you on this day and every day I speak every first Sunday on live broadcast or the radio broadcast. My interest is reaching those who care about life, not those who have given up on it. Those who care about life, because they can't help themselves and they can't help you. If they could help themselves, they wouldn't be in that condition. And if we could help them, they'd be here listening to us. They have no interest in what we are saying. They have no less interest in anything but what got them, what's holding them. Vulgarity, violence, love for vulgarity and love for crime. Crime. That's a crime to treat yourself that way. It's a crime to treat your life the way you treat your life. And we want the conscious ones that are in our hearing range, in the radio audience and here at this facility, we want the conscious ones to register more the hurt on society, the hurt on human life. Think about it more and register it more so you will do more about it.
Yes.
They can't help themselves. Spiritually, they're dead.
Right.
Morally, they're dead.
Right.
So how can you raise the dead if they insist upon living in the graveyard? And the big cities, they make more and more room for you. If you want to live in the graveyard, they'll turn over some more land to you to increase the area for the dead. Oh, yeah. They ain't running out of no space when it comes to accommodating the dead. You want to die and go 6 feet under, they're ready for you, got plenty of land. More, if your graveyard in your area is filling up, they got plenty of land available. They'll accommodate you if you want to go down in the grave. The grave of moral decay. Moral rot. We have to reform the behavior. We can save those who are conscious. If the best help that a conscious person needs and the help that helps them the most is just to know that there's somebody else conscious. And we want you out there in the radio audience that are conscious, still alive morally, still respect things of importance, still care about human life and human suffering. We want you to know that we are alive with you, and we want us all to be together. Let us be together, one spirit. God has made us one spirit, and God has made us one life, human life and human spirit. And if you are in human life, and like to remain human, you have human spirit.
That's right.
So we are one and the same. And I'm thankful to God, as we say thankful to Allah, Muslims say thankful to Allah, that we still have conscious people on this earth who will not give in to the pressure to go 6 feet under. And there are plenty of pressure out there to go 6 feet under.
Right.
Plenty of it. Not much help to keep your life in a good condition, but a lot of help if you want to destroy your life. you know, I was thinking on the subject of reform, an old song, words from an old song came to my mind. It goes like this. I'm going to change the way I walk. I'm going to change the way I talk.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, I said to myself, whoever wrote that song, it put something together. Because walking and talking are developments that come almost at the same time in the life of human beings. Walking and talking. Usually the child that's walking can talk a little bit too. And if they're talking, they usually he's walking too. So walking and talking like twins, you know, in the developmental progress of human life. They come around the same time, walking and talking. And this world, with its bad influences, and I say this world, I mean the corrupt world, the unconscious world, or I should say maybe the satanic world, that not out to help human life, but out just to exploit human life, to profit, to make money at the risk of human life. That world reaches us with its influences, and it changes the way we think. First, it changes the way we think. Then it changes the way we feel.
That's right.
Because if the way you think changes, then you're open to feel differently too.
That's right.
So it changes first the way we think. Then it changes the way we feel. Then it changes the way we behave.
Yes.
And when the thinking changes, it's expressed in the language. The talk changes. And you know, this, I don't know how this world managed to be so quick. I know I read in the Bible that says one beast has eyes all over him. And I took that to mean spies. That bad society beast has spies everywhere. And mix among them and let me know what's happening, what the mood changes are.
Yeah.
Let me know what the trends are or what you see developing. So they'll find a youngster. They'll find a youngster walking down the street and he has went off from the norm. He's left the old behavior. And he's indicating that he got another spirit in him and a different behavior. Mm-hmm. He'd be wearing his clothes hanging off his butt. And he'd say, okay, there are a lot of them out there like him, or they're ready to be like him. Let's put him on TV.
Yeah, that's right. Come on.
And we're gonna sell a lot of baggy clothes hanging off the butt.
That's right.
Now, why am I saying this to you out there? Because I believe there's some good conscious ones out there that's going around with your clothes hanging off your butt.
That's right.
That tells the world that cares nothing about human life, cares more about money than anything, that tells that commercial mind in the world that you are one of them. Or you are one of their customers. Potential or buying already. So let us be conscious and let us fight the world that takes us down and support the world that lifts life up. That's what we have to do. And this is an effort to reform the way you think. And as I said, if we can reform the way you think, I should say we think, we can reform the way we behave.
That's right.
Because your thinking, your behavior doesn't change until your thinking changes.
Right.
I'm sure you recall being at home with your parents and some child, member of the family, Sometimes a distant one, a close one, or an outsider may be in the house. Because our parents, some of them, they don't care who's in the house. If you behave in an unconscious way, if you display ignorance and vulgar behavior, mm-hmm. they'll correct you. They don't care who you are.
That's right.
They say, hey, this is my house.
Right.
And they're correct. So they would see someone behaving that way, and they would say, what's gotten into your mind?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what they would say?
Yes, sir.
What's gotten into your mind?
Right.
Now, they weren't no psychologists, but they knew, common sense told them, if you're behaving differently, something has gotten into your mind. So a lot of us, we think, oh, I know they bad, but you got to love them. Love them. Come on, honey. I love you anyway, honey. Come on, give me a hug. You should be giving the right cross. Right cross. Muhammad Ali or whoever the popular fighter is now. Right cross. Knock them flat on their back. And that'll be love. But saying, come and give me a hug. That's saying, I like you just as you are. You don't have to change for me. You ain't bothering me with your bad behavior. I like you just as you are. No, we don't. That's not like, that's not love. That's abuse. You're abusing them with that kind of treatment. Yes. And, you know, if you're conscious, you benefit from everything good.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And when you're unconscious, morally, spiritually, when you're unconscious, you are susceptible, you are vulnerable, you're open to everything bad. You lose everything. So we are a people who value human life. Your bad behavior hurts our feelings. The way you treat yourselves pains us right in our hearts. But we are not going to go to the grave with you.
There it is. Right.
We're going to work with the best of us. And hope that one day our influence in our areas where we live, in our neighborhoods, will be bigger than the influence of those who don't care about anything but money.
Right. Right.
Or will push everything, every other important issue off the desk if it hurts their money. They just want to keep the money coming, big. And they are responsible for all the misery we are seeing now.
Right.
Not only in the streets, but in our homes. They are responsible.
Right.
This much damage could not be done to us if it was not for television.
There it is.
Television now brings what's happening from all over the world right into your living room. And you can't be there all the time. You don't know what your children are watching and what they're not watching. So you got corruption having free access, free entry, and that's bad. And what are you going to do? You can't go crazy. I know I won't. I insist upon being sane and reasonable. You can't go crazy and say, hey, I'll beat you to death if you keep watching that. No, you can't do that. So they insist that they're going to watch that stuff, and they're teenagers, they're going to school. You can't beat them to death. You can just keep talking to them and try to reason with them. That's all you can do. And some of us, we do that and we lose them. They go out of our house. Pretty soon they don't want to stay with us because we irritate them. So they want to stay with somebody else. So they leave us and go stay with somebody else. And pretty soon we find out that they have left the life. The good life.
That's right.
And they have joined those who waste life.
Right.
Destroy life. But we only can do our best and have faith that eventually good wins out.
Yeah.
Eventually, God takes over. We can only go so far with Satan. And after a while, God will say, I will take charge of this matter. And then God brings his judgment. And the whole world begins to change. People on high that tolerated their abuse of freedom. Freedom to make money at any cost. Freedom to take over the culture. And make it nothing but a culture for dollars. A culture to produce dollars. Yes? That's almost what our culture is now in the streets.
Right.
And on television. It's a culture to produce dollars.
Right.
But there come a time eventually that the high-ups in government, the high-ups in church, in church life, and for us, religion, our Muslim life, the high up get fed up too. God put in them the spirit. Say, hey, this has gone too far.
That's right. All right.
It has to be checked.
Yes. Right.
So high up in religion, in Christianity, I mean world Christianity, Christianity not just here in America, Christianity in Europe, Christianity everywhere, the high ups, they meet and they say, hey, something got to be done about this. It's got to be checked. It's gone too far. And they express themselves in high-ups in government, hear of their concern. And those that have the same fear and the same concern in high places in government, they meet with those of the religious establishment.
Right.
Now, I'm talking as though this is something that could happen.
Yes, come on. Right.
Or something that has happened.
Yes.
But really, what I'm viewing in my mind right now is what's happening at this particular time. So don't think that everything is lost.
Mm-hmm.
No. We have people in high government positions and people in high religious positions, church position, mosque position, synagogue position. We have people in high places with influence and with money.
That's right.
And power.
Yes.
We have people who have looked at this ugly scene, this ugly life scene, and the public just going to the graveyard.
Right.
And they've said, let them go on their own. But we have to stop those who are profiting on their bad behavior.
That's right.
So privileges that have been given immoral moneymakers is being taken away from them.
Right.
And it won't be long. I think you can see the sign of it in the movie theaters now. You're getting movies that's coming out that's addressing moral issues.
Yes.
More movies are coming out now that address moral issues. More movies that are coming out now that address the forces of good and evil.
Yes.
How they are in conflict and in battle with each other.
Yes.
More movies are coming out that tells us that the influence of those persons or people in high places are reaching even the industry, the movie industry.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see it much or hear it much in the record business, the recording industry for records and songs and stuff like that, music. We don't see it much, but it's there. It's coming. It's growing there too. And pretty soon, the rapper, don't you know we have good rappers? They're good rappers. There are plenty of good rappers. But you don't see that. They didn't see them in that period. They're still on us, but it's going away. It's a thing of the past.
Right.
That spirit when the vulgar guy is welcome.
Right.
The nasty mouth guy is welcome.
Right, right.
And the clean mouth guy, we don't want you.
Right.
There's nothing for you to do.
Yeah.
Why don't you go back and get it together again?
Right.
You know?
Right.
Nothing for him. And he really got was help. He got medicine and healing and sweet stuff and good stuff.
Yes.
And the other guy got poison.
Yes.
Hmm? That's all he got, poison. Drugs in the form of music and song. That's what he got. The time is changing. It's time for reform. Now you who are Muslims in the audience, and remember the days of the Nation of Islam under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And there are many of you who never became Muslims, but you appreciated the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's work for the black people.
Yes. Right.
Or for the African Americans. Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, if I would describe him in just one statement, I would say he was a man who wanted to dignify the life of his people.
Right. All right.
And that kind of work, when you look at the whole life and you want to make it more respectful, more respectable, and more respectful, you are looking at it with the eyes of a reformer. You want to reform the life. You remember Carter G. Woodson?
Yes, sir.
We celebrate him every February, Black History Month.
That's right.
He wrote a book challenging us to take on the responsibility ourselves for educating our children.
Right.
And he said, he took the position that the way we were being educated by the public system was really miseducation.
Mm-hmm.
Miseducation.
Right.
And he was correct. It has changed a lot since his time. A lot. In fact, it's completely new scene. It's not the same scene that Carter G. Woodson was looking at. But it still has a long ways to go yet.
Right.
It still needs more reforming. And I'm not saying this. It's the educators and the conscious teachers and also higher education and the institutions of higher education. They are saying it also that we have to reform our system of education.
Right.
The textbooks,
right.
They still need more correction and more corrections and are reforming. We need to form the way they are composed or the way the writers perceive knowledge and education.
Mm-hmm.
So the time is here and it's going to bring about a good change for the better.
Yes.
And I'm optimistic. I see a good future coming. I think the sickness has reached its course, and a healing time is here. Yes, the healing time is here, and life is going to be beautiful. Also, I want to say to the young people here in the audience that we have to reform the way we see old people.
Yes.
You know, human progress on this earth has been made more and better because the old folks deposited what they had of value from their learning and experiences into the ears and heads of the young. And during that period of time, behind us, a long ways behind us, some of us still do it, but very few, During that period of time, youngsters didn't look at old people and say, oh, I have nothing to do with them, and they have nothing to do with me. No. They felt a strong bond. Child and adult. A strong bond. They felt a dependency. And even the rebellious ones, those that were of bad behavior, they had some respect for elders, some respect for senior citizens, some respect for old folks. But all that was destroyed too with this new popular culture that took over. Yes? All that was lost. Also, adults, you have to reform the way you see the young people.
That's right.
I hear them saying, oh, well, you know, they're just young. And they don't add, and they don't know. You stop doing that. But I remember the time when you said, oh, they're just young, they don't know. They have learned so much, you don't say they don't know anymore. You know, they know more than the average one of us, that's for sure. Especially about this world and life out there. Yes. But we have to change the way we look. We have to change and reform. Change, reform, same. We have to reform the way we look at the youngsters. We shouldn't look at them and say, oh, they're young, and they're just caught up in that young life, and I hope they survive it, you know. You can't look at them like that. You got to look at them and say, if all of them go bad, we all are going to become extinct.
That's it. All right.
Because our future is in our children. And the good life and good spirit that God put in human life, human nature, had us wanting to deposit the best of ourselves as we see ourselves getting more and more away from the energetic life, getting near to retirement. An urge came over us to share with our children, with the young, what we got, so that they will have more to work with for their future.
That's right. That's right. Yes, sir.
So we have to start looking at them like that again. We have to look at our children, our grandchildren. The Imam Daniel Kareem, Rafa, I'm sorry, he mentioned that I'm a grandfather. Rafa, I'm a great-grandfather.
Yes, sir.
I got great-grandchildren.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And you see how it's supposed to go?
Yeah.
Rafa,
oh, yes,
see, you have a father, then you have a grandfather,
come on.
And then you have great-grandfather.
That's right.
See, it's supposed to get improved.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
as the family line grows, you're supposed to be achieving more.
Yes, sir.
So now he produced me. He's a father. Now he produced me, and I produced a child from him,
yeah,
from his line.
That's right.
Now he's a grandfather.
Right. Yeah.
Grand.
Yeah.
They try to make me feel uncomfortable. Say, hey, are you his grandfather? Talking about my young son. He's my son. Are you his grandfather, aren't you? I say, yes, I'm his grandfather, and he's my grandson. Now, it's something when you become a great-granddaddy. Not only grand, you're great. So, appreciating life, that's where it all starts. Man, when God made him on this earth, he thought about himself and he thought about the world all about him. And he realized that there was more in the world than he could possibly use. There was just too much out there for him.
That's right, right.
His he didn't have an appetite to use everything out there. So it made him wonder, why have I been put in a world like this to think and understand and be free to benefit from all of this beauty and all of this wealth and goods that's out here? And he started to reflect, and he came up with the idea that that couldn't have happened unless somebody was over it and cared about life.
Yes.
God.
Yes, all right.
God. And we know that the ancient and those of medieval times and those around us here right now, those conscious people and teachers in religion, they say the first bond you should have is with God. And they say never break that bond.
Yes.
Form a tie, a relationship with God.
Yes.
And never break it.
Yes. Right.
That's the key to survival and good life on this planet Earth. So they told us that, and some of us, we don't want to hear anything. I was speaking once, and a young lady, she's not young anymore, but she was young then, she said, "Will you stop talking? I don't want to think. I don't want to think."
I'm in the line. We are pulling up at the masthead, so just need to sit tight.
Allahu Akbar. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. إن المتقين مفازا حدائق وأعنابا وكواعب أترابا وكأسا دهاقا لا يسمعون فيها لغوا ولا كذابا جزاء من ربك عطاء حسابا رب السماوات والأرض وما بينهما الرحمن لا يملكون منه خطابا يوم يقوم الروح والملائكة كفصا لا يتكلمون لا يتكلمون إلا من أذن له الرحمن وقال صوابا ذلك اليوم الحق فمن شاء اتخذ إلى ربه مآبا إنا أنذرناكم عذابا قريبا يوم ينظر المرء ما قدمت يداه ويقول الكافر يا ليتني كنت ترابا الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصل لربك وانحر إن شانك هو الأبتر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن
سمع الله لمن حمده. اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت، وعافنا فيمن عافيت، وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت، وتولنا فيمن توليت، وقنا شر ما قضيت، إنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك، إنه لا يعز من عاديت، ولا يضل من واليت، تباركت ربنا وتعاليت. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات، المؤمنين والمؤمنات، الأحياء منهم والأموات. اللهم اغفر موتانا، اللهم اغفر موتانا، اللهم اغفر موتانا، اللهم اغفر لهم وارحمهم، وعافهم واعف عنهم، وأكرم نزلهم، ووسع مدخلهم، واغسلهم بالماء والثلج والبرد، ونقهم من الخطايا كما يلقى الثوب الأبيض من الدنس. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا، اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا، اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا، وكفر عنا سيئاتنا، وكفر عنا سيئاتنا، وكفر عنا سيئاتنا، وتوفنا مع الأبرار. ربنا إنا ظلمنا أنفسنا، وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا إنا ظلمنا أنفسنا، وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا إنا ظلمنا أنفسنا، وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم انصر إخواننا المرابطين في فلسطين، في مسجد الأقصى، وفي غزة، وفي سوريا، وفي أفغانستان، وفي الصين، وفي الهند. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا، وكفر عنا سيئاتنا، وتوفنا مع الأبرار. اللهم اعتق رقابنا من النار، اللهم اعتق رقابنا من النار، اللهم اعتق رقابنا من النار. اللهم اغفر لوالدينا، اللهم اغفر لوالدينا، اللهم اغفر لوالدينا، يا رب ارحمهما كما ربونا صغارا، يا رب ارحمهما كما ربونا صغارا، يا رب ارحمهما كما ربونا صغارا. وصل اللهم وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
And that ends our Tawheed prayer here at Masjid Ashaheed in Charlotte, North Carolina. Thank you for bearing with me. Thank you for being patient. I got here, mashallah. So we did get some of that Tawheed prayer, and may Allah bless you. This is Sister Kalina Akbar here in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I thank you for staying with me. I follow you in the queue. May Allah bless you when you get married. Many barakas. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.